Môre Danny. Goeiemôre. Good morning. How are you today? I hope that you are doing well. It is so good to be here. My wife and I are always just so privileged to be able to come here and to be with you. So it's just so great to be invited to be able to share some few things with you. We love you guys so much. And it is just amazing to see how God has worked. I finally have come to Cape Town, and it's raining, and I'm happy, and I was expecting it. It always catches me off guard, but this time around, I think I was mentally I was prepared, and so I am just having a great time. But also, I mean, because rain, you know, I think now I have a different perspective over rain in Cape Town in particular, because the last time I was here, you know, I couldn't take a bath. You know, and so now I'm like, oh, it's raining. Okay, I can take a bath. You know, this is awesome. Oh, not yet. These tourists, you know, they just don't follow the restrictions. And so it's so good to be here. And, you know, Verna asked me to just share or to speak today, and I was thinking about, you know, what would I talk about, and I thought, you know, I want to talk about the heart of the mission today, and I hope that, you know, we, in the time that we have together, will be able to walk away with maybe more of the same perspective or maybe a different perspective this morning. So let's go to God in a word of prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your love, for your mercy, for your kindness. Thank you, God, that you have picked each and every one of us. You've brought us here this morning to worship you. Father, thank you so much. Above all else, that we live in hope. That we have been handpicked by you for a specific purpose, and that we are your delight, that our life will never end here, God, that we will be able to see you one day and see just the fulfillment of your promise to us, God. Thank you that we have a seal that is a guarantee that you are coming back for us, God. Thank you so much that we can be able to sing and worship you. And Father, we pray that you continue to work in a powerful way in our lives, God. I just pray for the message this morning. Please give me the words, Father, just how to say them and exactly what you want me to say, God. I pray for all of this in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Jesus came over 2,000 years ago, and he came here with a specific purpose. You know, many of us, when we think about the mission, we think about a place we need to go to, right? Or we think about a missionary that needs to go and be sent. Very seldom, when we think about the mission, do we think about where we are. That, you know, the mission perhaps is not something to do, but it is something to become. You know, often, when we read the Bible, we go to the Bible to be able to find out about what we need to do. But I think in God's heart, it's not so much a list of things that we need to do, but who we need to become. That, you know, when he's thinking about the mission, you know, he's thinking about who we need to become, that we need to become the mission. That we need to see ourselves as foreigners in this world. We need to see our neighborhood differently. What if God had planted you in your neighborhood in order to make a difference in that neighborhood? What if we are on the mission team? What if the office block where you work and where you go, that is your mission? To be able to bring the light. And so it's important for us, even as we talk about it this morning, to think of it as something that we need to become and not so much something that we need to do. My first point, I want to talk about the heart to see the need. In Matthew chapter 9, in verse 35, there's a passage there. And this is what Jesus has to say. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." You know, the disciples were going about their business, following Jesus, learning from him, and watching him heal people, and watching him do miracles. And then he turns around, and he looks at the people, and he saw something different from what the disciples were seeing. You know, he brings out something, you know, that he's seeing beyond how people are dressed, beyond what the homes they were living in. Jesus sees a need, and the Bible says he had compassion on people. You know, here are some statistics, and I got them off of the Stats SA website. So they say that 55% of the population of South Africa as of 2015 is living in poverty. 55%. Wow. Unemployment, 27%. Marriages that end in divorce, plus minus 60%. Out of every 10 marriages, 6 of them will end in a divorce. Kids that experience abuse, 1 in 3. Violent crimes and murder affect 49 people every day. 49 people are killed in South Africa in a violent crime. You know, when you look outside and you look at your neighborhood, you may be deceived about what is going on in our country.
That's right.
Because we make every effort to make sure that we are comfortable. You know, we pick the neighborhood where we want to live, and so maybe some of these statistics might even sound wrong to you. Like, oh, come on, they're exaggerating. Because of how we have sheltered ourselves from what is going on around us. Maybe we surround ourselves with friends who are Christian friends. Maybe the 5 married couples around your marriage have been married for over 20 years. And so when you hear this statistic, you think, no, that can't be true. One in 5 websites is a pornography website. 1 in 5. Isn't that scary? You know, our son is 9 years old. I have already had to have a conversation with him about pornography. 9 years old, primary school. And so, when we look at all these statistics, do we see the need? Do we see the need for Christ, for more of Christ in our lives and in people's lives? Do we look at people, you know, the way that Jesus would look at them? Because I bet you this is what Jesus would see when he looks at people.
Right.
He would not see the big car they drive. He would not see how well they're dressed. He would not even see, you know, that they're rude or they're indifferent. But Jesus would see beyond all of that. And I believe that for us to be able to capture the heart of the mission, we need to see beyond just the outside. Have you ever heard of, you know, the expression, put your best foot forward? You know, that's what people are told every day. That when they walk out, they need to put their best foot forward. And so that sometimes can prevent us from being able to see the need that surrounds us. Because everybody is trying to put their best foot. But that's not what's going on the rest of the time in their lives. You know, you and I are called to have a heart that sees the need around us. All these statistics, you know, as scary as they are true. You know, there's so much that is going on. And God has put us here so that we can be the salt of the earth. That as we interact with people, that we can be able to realize that, man, people need God. You know, I recently did a survey in the Pretoria Church. So we are about 225 members. And so, you know, on a Sunday like this, I said at church, you know, if you were invited to church by a stranger, somebody you didn't know and you did not have a relationship with them, they just bumped into you in a shopping mall or somewhere on campus and they invited you to church, just raise your hand. It was like over 50% of the church were people who were invited by a perfect stranger. Wow. I thought that's amazing, right? That many people sitting in that congregation were invited by someone who decided that they were a missionary in this world. That they were going to go beyond their own discomfort. That they were going to cross the line and say, man, I need to reach out. Yeah, this guy looks like he's, you know, he looks like he's okay, but there's a chance that he might need God in his life. And that one chance was a gateway into an incredible life for eternity for someone else. Do we see the need? And secondly, I think we need to heed the call. You know, Jesus, there's a number of verses in Mark 1, verse 38, in Luke 19, 10, and in John 10:10, and basically he talks about why he has come. You know, he says, look, let's go to this town. You know, why? So that I can preach the gospel there. That is why I have come. You know, why are you living in Cape Town? Why are you here? Right? The Bible talks against, you know, people who say, I'm going to go to this town, make a lot of money, and do this and do that for myself. And he says, be careful about that type of planning. Right? So I'm hoping you didn't come here to make money. Okay, yeah, someone says not Cape Town. Right? But why did you come? Why are you in the city? Why are you here? Why do you live in the neighborhood where you live? Why do you go to the little grocery store where you go around the corner? You know, Jesus says he came so that he can preach the word in this place and in that place. You know, God loves that kind of planning. Well, I'm going to go to this place, and I'll be able to share my faith there, and I'll go to that place, and I'm going to go to this superstore here, and I'll go pick up the kids. But while I'm there, you know, my kids are in this school, not so that they can get a great education, but because God wants me to be able to show his light in this community. So the reason your child is in the school where they're in is because God is planting seeds in that school. Boy, that changes our perspective, right? When we go to the school meeting and when we interact with a teacher, you know, there is nothing as a parent like interacting with a teacher who doesn't like your child, right? I mean, it's just like, oh, you know, you pray and you're like, oh, God, help me. Help me to hear the good things, you know. I know there'll be a lot of stuff said, but just help me to filter through all of that. But to constantly think that I'm going into this appointment because God cares about this person. God loves this individual. This one appointment and one interaction with me could be a game changer in this person's life. You know, when we interact with someone who is rude to us, you know, do we think, man, I'm interacting with this person, you know, yeah, they're angry, yeah, they're upset, they're saying a lot of things, but there is a small chance that they could be crying out for help. That my response could be the key to transformation in their life. A small chance that maybe this is when God is calling me to minister to someone. Right? In the moment, it's very difficult, right? You know, we care about us and ourselves. But God is looking, you know, who shall I send? You know, in Isaiah 6, verse 1 to 8, you know, that there's a passage there. And Isaiah talks about, you know, all these different things that this vision that he's seeing. And in the end, you know, he says, you know, wow, I have seen God and surely I'm going to die, right? And the angel says, no, you know, your guilt has been taken away from you. And then he says, I heard a voice that said, who shall we send? And I responded, here am I, send me. And I read that passage. Often I think about my own life. I think about, man, you know, now that God has saved me, now that God has done this incredible transformation in my life, who's going to go? Am I going to go? Am I going to go and be the messenger of transformation in other people's lives? You know, I'm so grateful for the gentleman who studied the Bible with me, you know, and he was so diligent. He was, wow, you know, I have not seen... up to that point, I had not seen someone my age who was as consistent and as diligent as this young man. And he had an incredible impact in my life. And so then as I went to church, I then realized that it was actually a common thing in the church that young people were very diligent and consistent. I was blown away. I was hoping that he was the only one, you know. But I was wrong. He wasn't the only one. It's like I had not seen people who were reading their Bibles and internalizing them the way that he did. I bet he had favorite programs. I bet he had things that he wanted to do with his time. But he consistently sacrificed his time to study the Bible with me. And our studies were long. You know, you know, understandably so, because, you know, I didn't even, you know, English was not my first language. I didn't even, I mean, up until I came to church, I did not speak English consistently. Even in school, I learned all the subjects in my language and then, you know, take them back to English. Even the way I thought in my language and then, you know, and then I would speak in English, you know, but first it had to make sense to me in my language, and then I could say it in English. And so that study was long. I mean, the poor guy, you know. I mean, there were words I had never seen, like synagogue. I mean, I was like, what is this? What is this thing? You know, how do you, and you know how it was back then, you know, like the guy would say, okay, open in this passage. Okay, now you read. And then I would read and I'm like, I have never seen this thing. But the man was patient with me. And I thank God for sending that missionary in my life. But I think the question that God is asking today, who shall I send? Who shall I send to your neighborhood? You know, church, we've only just begun. You know, how awesome will it be to be able to see a congregation like this in Bloemfontein? You know, over 200 people that get together on Sundays and they worship God and they talk about the word and they do these amazing things. What about Nelspruit? You know, George. You know, Rustenburg. You know, Peter Murray's back. You know, all these different places. You know, who's gonna go? If you and I love our lives so much and our comfort so much. Now, I have an idea. Okay, I know that many of you are not gonna go. Okay, like I'm just wasting my breath. Like, you know, I'm excited. Yeah, you know, and someone is saying, yeah, and I'm thinking, wow, they're packing their bags. No, I know you're not gonna go. So, but give the money, right? You can give the money for those missions. You know, when you give your special contribution this year, you know, don't just write another check. Don't just give another transaction. Think about it. Pray about it. Talk about it as a family. What are we going to give this year? You know, give it with the hope that someday some church will be planted somewhere, that someone is going to hear that your giving is going to make a difference. Pray for your giving before you give it to God. Pray for it. You know, pray over it. And pray that the impact will have an eternal and lasting impact. And so give it with a glad and sincere heart. You know, give it with so much joy. You know, get the details and work through it. And man, let it be something that you care about. You know, there's a brother in the U.S. who, you know, I had someone share a story about him. So what happened is he had a successful business, and after he had died, he had written in his will that his money should be given towards missions. Now, he gave about $11 million towards missions. Now, I think that is impressive, but what was more impressive to me was hearing someone say they used to be in the same congregation with him, and they never thought he was someone who had $11 million. And I thought, wow, what a guy, right? That was to me more impressive than even what he gave. Do you live as a missionary? How do you live? Do you live like a missionary would? You know, where is your money going when you are done in this world? Right? Suppose God has given this money to you to be able to manage the money for him. What's going to happen to that money when, so, because you've lived and you haven't used it. This is now leftover money, right? This is spare money. I mean, you've done everything you wanted to do. Oh, look at that, God. There's still money left in the bag. I can't do anything with it. What are you going to do with it? What's going to be on your will? Are you going to give it to the kids so they can afford a lifestyle that they don't have the character and they haven't worked hard for? Is that the biggest thing you want out of life? I just want my kids to enjoy a lifestyle they don't have the character to sustain. Is that what you want? Or would you say, wow, you know, Now, first, obviously, I'm talking about people who are going to have money to have left over. If you're not going to have money left over, please don't be offended. I'm not talking to you. You know, I'm talking to people. Don't be offended on their behalf, okay? I'm talking to people who are going to have lots of money left over here. Like, their money, they cannot spend all their money, okay? There's going to be lots left over, right? And I'm appealing to you. Think about mission work. Think about the churches that still need to be planted. Think about the young people that need to be hired in the ministry. You know, every year we have about 4 young people in Pretoria who want to be in the full-time ministry, and we don't have the money to hire them. I have to say no. You know, we can only hire 1 person this year, or we can only hire 2 people this year. You're going to have to wait. And I think, how sad. How sad. How I wish we had just so much money to be able to hire more people so that we can be able to continue to train our young people and to continue to be inspired and inspire and live out this life. So I'm calling to you. I'm saying, look, I know, you know, it's very comfortable. It's nice here. You know, Verna, you know, was joking. He says, you know, I think the weather in Cape Town is God's way of regulating the population. You know, if it was warm all year here, can you imagine what would happen? We'd be driving on top of each other. And so there's like 5 months of rain and crazy weather just so that, you know, people can think, nah, I was thinking I was going to move there, but nah, I'm not going to go. Right? Or those who come, you know, they're like, yeah, it's been 2 years. You know what? I don't like this weather. I'm going back. So I know that, you know, there are many people who love being here and they love this place. And as I said, I've accepted when I come here next year, I'm going to see you guys. You'll be here. You would not have gone anywhere. Right? You're not going to Bloemfontein or whatever. That's okay. But pray for those places. Have them on your heart. You know, constantly think about, you know, what can we give? What can we do? You know, if there's a mission team going out to Bloemfontein, can I at least go there on holiday for 2 weeks and help them out? You know, what can I give? You know, when you hear there's a mission team going there, you've got stuff maybe that you can give. And you must pay for the transportation to get it there. Right? There's no use. I'm giving a couch, but it's sitting here in Cape Town. How do you think the couch is going to get there, right? The money we're going to pay transporting it, you know, we might as well have bought a couch there. But God is calling us, and he's calling us in different ways. And I think the greatest need and the greatest call of the hour is for us to be the mission. Wherever you are, is to have a missionary's heart. To think about, you know, how your actions are affecting the mission. You know, God, you know, from Genesis, you know, Genesis 1, you know, what is his charge to his people? You know, in Genesis 1, 28, you know, he says, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth. You know, Jesus, as he's about to go, you know, in Matthew 28, what is his charge? You know, he says, man, you know, every town, go to all nations, you know, make disciples of all nations. He says, multiply is the charge. You know, God wants us to multiply. He wants us to grow. He wants us to fill the earth with his greatness. You know, do we still have that dream? Do we have the hearts that dream for God? You know, back in the days, it was common when you go on a date, you know, so you must remember, I came to the church, you know, I was a wildcat, you know, from the township, you know, and now I'm being told I must take someone on a date. I'm like, a date? What is that? Let's start there. So they had to first start teaching me what is a date, right? And then they had to teach me how to behave on a date. And then they had to write down a note for me. Okay, so this is the first question you ask, okay? So you ask, so who met you? Okay, well, that, you know, you want to know who studied the Bible with them. And so they asked me all. And then brother, before you end the date, okay, just about 10 to 15 minutes before, now this is the question you ask. What are your dreams for the kingdom? Right? I mean, it wasn't a date if you haven't asked that question. You had to ask. I mean, so it's like, wow, you know, and I was excited. I was like, man, I've got my notes. Man, I'm ready, you know, and I have to go. And we had to ask, why? Because everybody had to have a dream for the kingdom. Yeah, I'm studying accounting and you know, I'll become a CA and whatever, you know, but what is my dream for the kingdom? What is that going to do in the grand scheme of things? Do you still have a dream for the kingdom? Or at least, do you still dream? Do you have a dream for the kingdom? I know we all have dreams for ourselves. We want great things for ourselves. But what about the kingdom? Who's going to dream for the kingdom of God? You know, there's a brother who had just come with the brothers from Indonesia, and I got a message. You know, he's from Thailand, and I got a message that he had passed on. His name is Kenneth Lowe, and you know, he had been sharing. I just happened to be on different settings with him, what a great guy. You know, he's a businessman, and his wife runs a couple of businesses. And they have three sons, and their two older sons are disciples, and his brother is a disciple, and you know, all these wonderful things. And then I got a message saying he passed away. And I asked what happened. You know, they said, man, you know, he passed away that Monday morning, and he had a heart attack. He was 60 years old, and he had a heart attack. Now, I don't know if you remember that group from Indonesia. I mean, everybody looked 10 years younger than their age. I mean, when they said he was 60, I was like, what? Kenneth is 60. He looked like he was 49 or something. And I was so impacted by his story, because on that Sunday before he died, he baptized his friend at church. And then on Monday, had a heart attack and died. And I just thought, oh God, what a way to go. What a way to go. What a way to go. You know, these guys, you know, as they shared their lives, and I remember him sharing, I mean, his life was about the mission. He said, you know, I'm successful. I run a successful jewelry company all over Southeast Asia. But the most important thing to me is the church. It's studying the Bible with people. You know, I remember a few of them sharing, you know, and the one guy saying, yes, you know, I run a few listed companies. And I thought, I mean, he said it like as a matter of fact, like, by the way, you know, just like you send a kid to go buy bread, like, I run a few listed companies. Wow, dude, I mean, wow, this is impressive. But he says, you know, these days I spend a lot of my time at the shopping mall studying the Bible with people. Wow. And I thought, that's what it means to be a missionary. It's not packing your bags and going somewhere. Now, that's part of the mission. But it's where you are, what impact are you having? What impact are you having? You don't have to be in the full-time ministry to be a missionary. You don't even have to be asked by someone to be a missionary. You just have to become. Most of the Bible is about who we need to become and not this long list of things that we need to do. We will do the things that need to be done because we are. And I think that is the greatest call. That is the greatest call of the hour that God wants us to have and wants us to respond to, is to become. And when it comes to the mission, you know, my challenge today is not for a lot of you to go back home and think about the bags you need to pack, but my challenge to you is that you will become a missionary. To God be the glory. Amen.